I want you to work on something for me, if you don't mind.
Okay. Is it to improve myself?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you're perfect just how you are.
Yeah.
I would like you this college football season.
Yeah.
To see if there's any way possible that you can get Kirk Herbstreit's dog in studio. And Kirk can come too, but is there any way possible you can make that happen?
You
see her on occasion, right?
Yes. So their booth, for home games, the TV booth is directly to our right. Through the glass, Jansen, I look to the right, there's Jansen, and then right there is the play-by-play crew. Sometimes there's a producer there. The producers often know John, and they will put signs up through the glass mocking John.
Okay.
Yes, which is awesome. And I enjoy the hell out of that. Especially one dude from the Big Ten Network who just trashes John all the time with little messages through the glass. With that said, yes, Herbie's a good dude, and
he's got tons of free time, right?
Not busy at all. I don't know that I've ever seen him take his dog into the actual booth. He may have, but he's pretty famously a dog guy and posts on social media his dogs all the time. And there's been times we've seen him with his dogs on the field at like national championship games. So I assume that, you know, Herbie brings the dogs on the PJ with him. And
yeah, I think he brings his dog Peter with him all the time.
Yep.
To all the
did Peter pass? Well, I thought one of them
did, but not Peter. Peter okay. he's the recent star. I forget what the other dog was, but they're all golden retrievers. They're all beautiful. So I just
you're a big dog guy. Yeah. I mean, look, I feel as if, you know, you should be there. You're a big dog guy.
Yeah, maybe the thing is to find out what game he's going to be at. Maybe I'll have to endure a trip.
Yeah, since the Big Ten is all in bed now with Fox, we don't see the ABC and ESPN crews as much or often at all. What are the non-conference games? They're all at home. Sometimes you get on the road. Like, was I believe at Oklahoma? Might have been an ESPN ABC game. Might have been the last chance. I don't remember. But yeah, we don't get to see the ABC crew quite as much.
He does pro football though, right?
What's that?
He still does pro football.
Yes, he does. He does the Thursday night Amazon games.
So do the Lions have a Thursday night Amazon game?
Oh, because you could do this yourself.
This is what I'm looking at.
Yeah, you can meet Peter. It's funny.
It's so weird. Colin, I love the name Peter. Is a dog? It's great.
Well, not very different than your dog. Both named after characters from the movie, from the TV show Family Guy.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Peter and Lois
mm-hmm.
together.
You could get in Family Guy. Lois is married to Peter, and so you could bring along your Lois to meet Herbie's Peter.
Don't ever say that again. Don't ever say that again. Somehow we walked into one of the funnier things you've ever said. Yeah, they don't play. The only Thursday game they play outside of Thanksgiving is at Buffalo, so that's not going to happen. All right. Anyway, sorry to derail things.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm used to it. Justin Verlander has just released a statement. I was out of the studio. Did he have it in the update?
No, I don't think he did.
Okay, this is JV's statement as he has been named to the Legends. He's getting the American League Legends spot for the All-Star Game. I want to thank the commissioner for incredible honor being selected to the All-Star Game. The opportunity to attend once again is something I'll cherish and will be incredibly special moment for me and my family. This season has challenged me in ways I hadn't experienced before, both physically and mentally. I've always believed that as long as I could compete at the level I expected myself, I'd keep playing. I never wanted to retire because of a milestone, a number, or a date on the calendar. I wanted the game to tell me when it was time. Over the last several months, I've realized that time has come. While I'm fully committed to giving my team everything I have the rest of this season, I've decided this will be my last. It's fitting that I get to finish where it all started with the Detroit Tigers, the organization that drafted me and gave me my first opportunity. Baseball has given me more than I could have imagined. It taught me discipline, resilience, and the value of continuing to adapt and evolve. I've been fortunate to play with and against incredible players for outstanding organizations and compete in front of fans who deeply appreciate the game. To every teammate, coach, player, clubhouse attendant, and fan who's been part of this journey, thank you. It's been a privilege to share the field with you, to my family, especially my wife, Kate. Thank you for standing beside me through every season, every rehab, and every high and low. I couldn't have done it without you. It's time for the next chapter. But first, I'm excited to finish this season the only way I know how, with everything I've got. Justin Verlander.
So, retirement
mm-hmm.
after the season.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's going to, he will apparently attend the game. That's what the first paragraph says, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting he's getting this out of the way now. And I guess is his hand forced to get it out of the way because of the announcement that he's named to this? Or did he inform baseball that he was going to sit down after the season? And then Rob Manfred said, look, you're a legend. Let's make you the legend's pick for the game. And however it works out, I think it's how it should work out.
Yeah.
And hopefully he can contribute in some way to this team in a positive way for the rest of the season. Now, maybe the most positive thing he's done as a player on the Detroit Tigers while not playing is just being the voice of wisdom and to be that guy that Casey Mize can come to the dugout in between innings and talk to, or that Troy Melton or any of the other pitchers, Kata Montero, or the entire pitching staff, that they can glean some of his wisdom and experience that he has to offer. And maybe that is still tremendous value for the rest of the season. I hope it is, because I don't have high hopes that he's going to pitch and be dominant for the Tigers.
No, look, this dude is a legend in Detroit. Okay. When he was on, it was an absolute thrill to have him wear the old English D. We were very, very lucky. He has since reached baseball's pinnacle. And you know, it's cool to have him back here. It is, you know, circumstance that brought him here is an emergency break glass signing when Jobe and Olsen became clear it wouldn't be ready and Verlander was still out there. He was unsigned. He finished last season strong. It was a bit of a shot in the dark to see if this could work out. He's given him one game and has been battling injury, which, you know, as he put it, it does feel like the game is telling him and his body's telling him it's time. And, you know, at this point, I don't want this to come across as callous in any way. I do not have an expectation for him baseball wise. I also hold no animus towards him. Like, I'm not mad at all that this hasn't worked out. It was a shot in the dark. And you know, if nothing else, you're right. I mean, he's sitting in that dugout night in, night out with some rising pitchers, one who has become the new Verlander.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who better to have as counsel than JV next to Tarek Skubal? And maybe
it's one thing to have Chris Fetter there, who's obviously very good at what he does. I think it only adds to the team that you've got Justin Verlander to sit there on the bench, who's literally been there and done that, done everything in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cy Young's, MVPs, World Series championships, Rookie of the Year. He's done it all. All-star appearances. And I think it's got to be really cool for those guys on the pitching staff to sit and rub elbows with him on a daily basis, even if he's not pitching.
Yep.
But as a fan, I still want to see him pitch this year at some point and hopefully be a contributing factor to why this team continues to win games.
So, look, JV, here's to good health for you. And enjoy the All-Star game. True Detroit legend. And if you can pitch at some point this year and help this team, that's awesome. If not, and this team does go on a run and you're along for the ride in some capacity, that could be cool too, even if you're not pitching. And, you know, and come full circle going out as a Tiger.
So the all-star representation of the Tigers pitching staff is just it's ironic.
It really is, considering the kind of year a bunch of their starters
guys that are having an amazing year or seasons. But it feels like they've all had some truncated portion of the season because of the injured list. But, I mean, you look at Casey Mize with his 2.64 ERA. Skubal's pitching great again, a 3.06 ERA. And Troy Melton in his 2.05 ERA. These guys have been great. And Justin Verlander, mm-hmm. you're going to be there from your 3.2 innings pitched and five earned runs. But I'm hopeful that he can come back to this team at some point and be contributing.
There it is. 248-539-9797.
Did not expect that he was going to announce that today.
Didn't expect to be named an All-Star, but legend pick, and now also announcing his retirement, Justin Verlander. After the end of the season, yes. He will try to finish out the season and, as he said, give it all he's got. Hey, your garage door works harder than you think. It goes up, it goes down, and after 1,000 trips, it deserves a little TLC. And that's when you call the pros at M&M Garage Doors, located right here in Michigan since 2011. They're offering complete care tune-ups for just $59. A simple tune-up will help extend the life of your garage door and catch small problems before they become expensive repairs. Their experienced technicians arrive ready to work and stand behind every job. Call 844-ONLY-DOOR or visit GarageDoorRightNow.com. M&M Garage Doors. Open your door to exceptional license. 210-220-6147. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Oh, let's get back to your calls. We got a Hobbs in Ann Arbor. You're on 97.1. Hello, Hobbs.
What's up, boys? Hey, I think it's, you know, you're in a nightmare scenario right now. I mean, I think you have to sell. I think you have to move Skubal. The problem is you're not going to get enough back to make a run. And if you keep them, you don't have enough currently to make a run. So I think you got to think outside the box. I think if somebody wants Torkelson or Skubal, you got to take Torkelson too. Detroit is not going to win a World Series with the three-run bomb approach. They got to get five tool guys that do a lot of things good. When your cleanup hitter, supposedly cleanup hitter, is hitting seven some games and going to strike out 220 times in a year, you don't have a home run hitter. Also, when you're pinch hitting for your three-hole hitter late in games, you don't have a three-hole hitter. I think we need a leadoff guy that can swipe some bags. You move McGonagall to third. You go find a power guy, and you play small ball to win a championship. You're not going to be competing with big market teams that can spend whatever they want. Baseball the right way to win a championship.
So what if a team trading for Skubal says, no, we're not taking Torque?
Doug, I think you're screwed either way, no matter what. So it's worth a shot.
Well, it's worth a shot. No, I mean, what you said, nobody's like, that's awesome to go. Yes, they need five tool guys. I'd love to have a lineup filled with five tool guys. It's much easier said than done. Sure. Sure. Go get five tool guys that can do everything. Yeah.
I don't think it is. I think you go get some prospects that can play the game the right way. Everybody trying the home run launch angle approach. I think some teams can do it. Detroit is not one of them. So we got to think outside the box and play baseball the right way. We can't cash a guy. We haven't cashed a runner at third base with less than two outs for three damn years. Scott Harris waited way too long to deal Skubal, and now you're in a position where you are screwed no matter what you do.
Well, what if they keep playing well? I mean, because this is the thing I've mentioned. Okay. I don't know what the purpose is of making a decision with 21 games to go that you have to do this or you have to do that. Shouldn't their play dictate what direction they go?
Sure. If they play well and make the playoffs, you are getting bare minimum out of your horse in the playoffs. He's going to throw 100 pitches max, and that's it. So even if you make it, you ain't going to win a World Series. It's not like he's got a Mad Max mentality where the guy will go 1-4-7 for you in a seven-game series. He's going to throw 100 pitches, and that's all you're getting.
Well, and that's actually true with many pitchers.
Most pitchers,
basically. Yeah, I mean, look, the idea of just declaring that there's no way they can win at all is, I mean, you can do it if you want, if you so choose. I feel as though many people would have said that there's no way the Seahawks are winning the Super Bowl and there's no way the Knicks are winning the NBA. If the Tigers keep playing well and make the playoffs, they become a team with a seat at the table and a chance to win the whole thing. I will say this. The only thing that I will declare 21 games before the trade deadline is that doing nothing is a mistake. In 21 games, they have to decide to sell or to buy. Doing nothing. Do I think as constructed they can win the World Series? No. But with this starting pitching, with the way they've been hitting, to have three players from the lineup added to the All-Star game, not by fan voting, speaks to what some of these guys in this lineup are doing. you add a couple, you either add a couple bullpen arms and go for it, maybe a right-handed bat, or you sell. I think the only thing I'll declare with 21 games to go is don't do nothing, one position or another.
It's interesting. I mean, he's tying Torkelson to that. And if you don't think Torkelson has value, then why would he add value to
any trade? I think his point is to get, his point was to get Scooble, you have to take Torque. He wants to unload him.
I don't know if you have to do that. If you're just going to load him, then you could waive him if that's what you want to do. I wouldn't want to do that, given that it's interesting. He brings up this team hasn't done this with, you know, runners in scoring position and runner at third, two outs, whatever. The team actually this year, with two outs and runners in scoring position.
Yeah, less than two outs, or he said less than two outs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going with the better one, which is two outs in scoring position. Yeah. They're actually, their team OPS is 752. Torkelson specifically, his OPS is 900 in those situations where it's scoring position and two outs.
Interesting. I mean, look, they offensively, they've been great for a month and a half here. They've got the most home runs in Major League Baseball, right? Tigers have, since June, yeah. The Tigers have the best ERA in the majors, the most homers in the majors. And so he's talking about they can't win baseball games hitting homers. And I'm like, actually, since they've been playing well, they got the most homers in.
If they had done anything in May, yeah, we're talking about, it's a total different
May undermined a lot of people's
May undermines
beliefs.
Everything.
I mean, he's not wrong about getting five tool players. Like,
who doesn't want a five tool player?
I know. It's,
everybody does.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. If you're a first baseman, you know what you're not? A five-tool player, because you're not going to have the run tool.
Usually not, no.
You know, and if you're a great fielder, you're not typically a great hit. I mean, whatever. It's, yes, you want better players for sure on this team. And I think there's plenty of room to add better players on this team. And first base may be something they're going to have to consider seriously in the future, particularly if some of these minor leaguers prove themselves. If Jose Bisseño ends up being a guy who is a can't-miss hitter, guess where he's playing? First base.
Yeah.
So they've got to consider that, for sure. But for right here and now, and I would consider, look, if you're looking at adding to this team at the trade deadline, and there is some first baseman that's out there that's a, you know, somebody who clobbers the baseball and it has better numbers than Spencer Torkelson, would I consider it? 100%.
I'm not committed to Torque. I don't want that to be misconstrued, but I think, you know, his demand that Torque, you have to take Torque too, a team might just say, no, we're not going to do that. And then do you not trade him? 248-539-9797. Alex is next. Hello, Alex.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Excellent.
Hey, I got two questions, and I'll hang up and listen. First is baseball. If I were to move Jansen and Vest and Anderson into a package, and then I put Verlander, Jobe, and Montero in the bullpen, is there any eighth or ninth inning guys out there that could come in? And then the second question.
Well, hold on. Are you talking about trading three bullpen arms that are struggling?
Yeah.
And how are you going to get anything for that?
I don't know. They're not doing anything anyways.
All right. So your point is you just want to improve those three.
Yeah.
Those
okay. Three so there might, bullpen. Yeah, there might be some people that you can repurpose to the bullpen, considering the fact that, I mean, probably the most likely candidate out of the starters is actually Jobe when he comes back. I suspect they're going to make him a starter. They'll probably try to use him out of the pen. If they are completely healthy with their rotation,
I got to believe he's definitely a pen candidate for the rest of the season when he comes back.
Feels like they've already decided, Alex, that Montero is the guy that'll be the swing that can go between the bullpen and starting for them. They could improve the bullpen, yes.
Yeah, I mean, having a guy who throws 100 miles an hour wouldn't be a bad thing.
I'm just desperate to get rid of either Jansen or Anderson. I'm so frustrated with those two. And Vest is just maybe could draw something because nobody else wants Jansen and Anderson.
Yeah, I don't suspect that there's much market. Now, people always want bullpen arms, so maybe. But if any contender wants a bullpen arm, you know, the Tigers, if they get themselves into contention, you'd think that they would see the value in them as well. But whatever. What was the second part?
Yeah, the second part is Lions. And that's, who do you think the three teams are that are interested in a guy that may be in prison for the rest of his life? And so, what does that say about those teams?
You're talking about Terry on Arnold, of course.
Yeah.
I seriously haven't seen it. Is there a report that three teams are interested in
him? Yes, if that's what his attorney had said.
Yeah.
That there are three teams that are interested. But he's got a hearing on Friday, I guess, to determine whether or not he's going to have to wear the bracelet and all that. So, I mean, teams, if you're a team, you're probably waiting.
I would imagine
on
that everybody's
some more
waiting.
That to fall here. And when is his trial going to start and all that?
The more I read about Terrion Arnold, the more it sounds like he lived a life that people had really respected him, and he had a horrible weekend of partying and
a bad decision after bad
terrible decisions. And I mean, the people that go to bat for him say very glowing things about Terrion Arnold. And then you read the Athletic just did another recap of that weekend. It is an amazing calamity of somebody compared it to the Wonderland crime in the movie Boogie Nights.
Oh, good God, don't do that.
Well, I mean, it wasn't murder, but yeah. You remember what an absolute terrible gong show plan that was in the movie Boogie Nights, which was depicted off of
it's based off of. I mean, there's actually a movie called Wonderland.
Yeah, and that was actually a murder, but
yeah, with Val Kilmer in it.
Was there a murder in the movie Boogie Nights, or was it just a failed robbery?
Robbery.
Yeah, you leave the back door. I like it. Anyway, the point is, it's such a terrible, terrible gong show of a plan. Like, hard to believe that somebody who seemed to be pretty good dude got himself wrapped up in this. Good Lord. 248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. Carson Anderson, 97.1. Hey, the hottest day of the week just got hotter. That's right. Twin Peaks brings hump day to a whole new level. It's tequilas and cervezas. Your favorite Twin Peaks girls are back in their red lingerie serving up samples of all your favorite high-end tequilas cocktails all summer long. A better way to cool off than in your favorite lodge with a margarita or 29-degree frozen summer shandy. And what makes it even better? Sports. We get a bit of a break today from the soccer, so come in and soak up all the Major League Baseball action you can handle, especially tonight when the local team hits the diamond against Oakland. You won't even have to fork over a lot of cash either, because their midday and late night happy hours will save your wallet. And with gas prices these days being out of control, every little bit helps. Monday to Thursday from 3 to 6 and again from 10 to close, you can take advantage of awesome drink specials like $5 tall domestic drafts or liquor like Tito's, Jack Daniel's, and Captain Morgan. And make sure to mark your calendars for Saturday for your favorite lodge, because they're bringing you UFC 329 with no cover. Come see the difference today. Twin Peaks, eat drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back. Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Taking calls and texts at 248-539-9797. A lot of news today, I guess, with the Tigers anyway. The Justin Verlander situation. He has just announced that he will retire at season's end. He has also been named by the Commissioner of Baseball to the American League roster as a Legends pick, which is pretty cool. And look, he is one of baseball's legends. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and it's interesting that these two things come out the same day.
Yep.
Perhaps not a coincidence.
Sorry about that. I was talking to sales staff. That's my bad.
No one has to know that.
What, I missed the first minute of that segment?
Yeah,
my bad. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Tony in Brownstown. You're next. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's
all right?
I'm saying be a buyer. I believe we got the best team in our division, and we get in the playoffs. But the starters we have, who knows what's possible? I mean, you got a shot to go for it. Be a buyer. Get a bat. Get a bullpen. And if you got six starters, come playoff time, one of them could go in the bullpen. So
hell, maybe two of them.
Yeah, or maybe two of them. Yeah, and that's that's my opinion, because I do believe if they keep it together,
well, Tony,
they will win.
Yeah, look, the team has to stay hot for the next 21 games. They have to stay hot to justify a move like that.
Got it.
You know, they've got themselves in an intriguing purgatory here between obvious buyers and obvious sellers. Some people still think they're obvious sellers, and that's fine. I would suspect that if they basically play 500 ball between now and the trade deadline, that they're probably should sell. But, you know, you don't want to – you look at a team that's playing better than anybody in the American League for the last month and a week, and you go, all right, how sustainable is this? How much further can they carry this? But I, like you say, they should buy. And I'm like, well, what if they lose five of the next six?
Well, you know, I just got one more point. But before the season started, this is the team that we expected. What happened to them in May, I have no clue. But this is the team I expected. I expected them to be great in the American League and even make it to the World Series. I'm not saying they would win the World Series, but I was excited about that, and they really got me excited right now. So,
yeah, and I'd be a lot more excited if they were, you know, if they're still winning games leading up to the trade deadline, they can go out and get a bat and get a bullpen arm or two. That'd be excellent.
Yes, sir. I look forward to talking to you guys in October if something good happens.
Well, Tony, hopefully we'll remember the call that Tony in Brownstown called up and said bye.
I'll never forget it. Never.
I don't like, I keep saying, why are people making the decision today? And we keep getting calls of people making the decision today.
Well, because that's how fans react. They want to think about things right now. Okay. It's no fun to say, oh, we'll wait 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, no, but
I mean, because I think that's kind of like the obvious, that's the obvious given is you wait. Nobody's saying make a trade right now.
Well, some people are. Some people are saying absolutely sell, and that can't be moved off that position.
Well, are they saying sell because that's what they expect them to do, or are they saying sell today on July 8th?
They're saying that they are committed to selling. I don't know if they're saying that they need to trade Skubal tonight, but they seem to be committed to that position. And I
think there might be more people than you think that are aligned with myself and perhaps Paul about being buyers and sellers.
Yeah,
at the very least, you're going to trade Skubal. It doesn't mean that you're giving up on the season.
I think that theory is so, is so counterintuitive, A, and B, also because of what they did 2 years ago with Flaherty when they traded Flaherty and got hot and made the playoffs.
Right.
But that's
maybe if that didn't happen 2 years ago, if that doesn't happen, maybe nobody's thinking that way. But at the same time, this pitching staff has some horses on it right now, and knock on wood that they can stay healthy. If they can stay healthy, you know, if your pitching staff was Troy Melton, Casey Mize, Framber Valdez, Cater Montero, and Jack Flaherty, and the way that they're pitching right now, good God, that's a great rotation. And that's notice there's somebody missing from that rotation.
So the people that are committed to selling right now and can't be talked off that position, one of the reasons why is the record, right? And that's a very compelling reason. But if you say that the record is enough reason and they can't be moved off that position, and even if they made the playoffs, they wouldn't beat anybody when they only have a losing record against one of the six American League playoff teams. So if the record matters that you should sell, then the record also should matter that they only have a losing record against one of the six teams that are currently holding the American League playoff spots. They're 500 against the White Sox. And Paul made a great point. Yeah, they're 4-2 against the Yankees, but they're 4-2 against the Yankees alike because of all the injuries. The Tigers are 9 games under in part because of all the injuries. Like, it works both ways.
Yeah, they're definitely that way.
So look, it's going to be the sports story of July is watching this team like a stock market, and is it a penny stock or is it a bull market for the Detroit Tigers? If nothing else, it's intriguing that Skubal came out last night and said, please buy. In not so many words. I didn't say exactly please buy, but you understand what I'm saying. By the way, I'm just reacting to some criticism. Somebody sending up, you guys are always with the if possibilities. And I'm like, yeah, we do talk about things. We call it the give it the 360. One of the ifs that we've given you at the beginning of the year was if Kevin McGonigal's American League rookie good. And guess what he is? American League rookie good. American League rookie of the year good. Just like if Cade Cunningham develops into one of the best players in the NBA, which he has. There are some ifs that actually come to fruition. So things can work out. Things can. If the trade deadline was today, I would sell. I would sell if the trade deadline was today. Mm-hmm. And you had a good offer. I mean, you know, that's...
Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah, I'd probably sell... I'd sell Skubal and probably Glaber. And
well, the one you were not selling, you, is Casey Mize.
I would do everything in my power to try and keep Casey Mize.
I'm not selling Casey Mize.
And it's not... It's because out of the two pitchers that are going to be free agents, two stars are going to be free agents at the end of the year. One, it feels like there's no chance they're re-signing. The other one feels like there's a chance.
Yeah, because he'd come at half the price at least.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. By the way, did you see Job start last night?
Yes, I saw some highlights and I looked at the box. It threw 32 pitches, went, I think, an inning and a third or an inning and two-thirds. Most of the pitches he threw were for strikes. He hit 100 miles an hour on the gun. He did give up a run, but I think at this point you're just let's see how many pitches you can throw, build the arm up, and get you ready to continue to probably matriculate different levels of the minors on his rehab starts here. But 32 pitches in the first one, I think he's still several starts away before he has a chance to pitch for the Tigers. But and we'll see. Maybe he just starts. Maybe he finishes the year at AAA. I don't know, but. A guy who can throw 100 miles an hour if he's healthy and ready to go. Sounds like he's got a spot on the Tigers roster at some point this year.
Let's go to Romeo and talk to Keith next on 97.1. Hello, Keith.
Hey, guys. So, you know, as I was telling the call screener, look, everybody's talking about what if this, what if that. You know, if they go this way, then we sell. If they go that way, then we buy. Look, there's one thing that's not a what if. What is going to happen to Tarek Skubal? He is going to leave this team at the end of the season, and we will get nothing for him. I agree with Gator and the fact that, you know, I think we get rid of Skubal. You know, we get what we can. We try to get a best trade we can. But that doesn't mean we're throwing in the season. We're just throwing in the Skubal part of it. As you said, you've got a great rotation without him. Well, what if we could get a couple of bullpen arms or a bat or something like that for him right now? Let's get it and keep going and try to win this season. I'm not saying sell everybody. That's ridiculous.
That's where I might be. I'll disagree a little bit on the return first. I've already, you know, in my mind, I've made it up that Skubal's going for prospects because that's the best value you're going to get. In my buying part of the mind, that's where the Tigers are giving up some of their prospects. I don't think I want to. I mean, unless you could find that unicorn player out there that's so young in his career that you feel very high on, but he's already at the major league level, that if you can get that guy and other assets for Skubal, fine, so be it. But I guess just this way I'm thinking and wired right now, it's prospects for Skubal, it's players for the Tigers prospects in the buying and selling.
Well, I think to some extent you're right on that, because there are some teams out there like the Dodgers that have some prospects that are going to be hitting the major league soon.
Well, yeah, they have a ton of them, but they're all at AA right now. And believe me, I'm looking at the Dodgers.
He's obsessed with the Tulsa Drillers outfield. In theory, what Keith talked about, what you've talked about, and Keith pretty aggressively, I'm not sure you can accomplish. Any team that wants Skubal is trying to win now. That team is also going to value its own bullpen arms. They are not likely to give you useful bullpen arms when they're hoping to use those bullpen arms. They are not likely to give you a useful bat when they're probably using that bat. I think what he just described in theory on paper sounds great. In reality, I'm not sure that team exists.
Right. When it comes to Skubal, it's like if you're going to trade him for a player that's major league ready right now, feels like to me it's somebody who's at the infancy stages of their major league career, as opposed to finding somebody who still has a year or two left on their contract. I'm not trading Skubal for Reynolds. I'm trading Skubal for players that I expect to be core players of this team five years down the road.
I hope people understand. But I mean, think about it with the Pistons, okay? When people wanted the Pistons to make a move at the trade deadline and whoever they wanted
Michael
to go
Porter
after.
Jr.
Yeah, and what if and Brooklyn said, sure, for Assar. Like that's why it doesn't make sense for the wouldn't make sense for the Pistons to create one hole to fill another, and why it wouldn't make sense for a major league team to give you useful bullpen arms and a bat for Skubal when they're trying to win.
Unless they have a surplus.
which is very hard to find.
Yes, it is.
Now, your love of the Tulsa Drillers outfield is if the Tigers are watching these kids and saying they could play in the majors now, they're just blocked by the Dodgers outfield. That's a different story.
Yeah, but it is double A.
It is. That's a long jump to make. Now, who made that jump? McGonagall.
Yes.
Never played in AAA.
But he made that jump in an offseason.
There's a pretty amazing McGonagall stat out there amongst many. We'll get to that today at 150 on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Did you hear Benetti say last night when Scooble struck out the side in the first? Do you know how many times, did you hear what he said about it?
That he's never struck out four in a row to start a game?
No.
I heard him say that.
Which stands to reason. It's only the second time in his career he struck out the side in the first inning. It's hard to believe. Jason Beck said, according to our great research, folks, this is the second time in Scooble's career that he struck out his first three batters in an outing. The other was June 9th, 2024 versus Milwaukee when he fanned Joey Ortiz, Reese Hoskins, and Christian Yelich in that order. 248-539-9797.
Well, they should trade him.
The funny thing is, maybe they should.
Never do that again. Funny.
Yeah. Mike in Detroit. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Mike.
I was wondering why, I understand the 10-year, $400 million deal would be an albatross. But why can't we offer Scooble 6 years at 55 and he gets $325 million? He's going to get another contract, get rid of Framber Valdez, and keep him with our young team, and we'd have one of the best pitching staffs for the next 4, 5, 6 years.
All right, two things on that. One, who's going to take Framber Valdez at the contract the Tigers gave him? And two, if Scooble gets an offer for 8 years at $50 million a year, why wouldn't he take that?
True. I don't know. I think that he would get another contract at 35.
I would say this.
That would put him over that.
I'm with you. I'd give him money. I mean, I would certainly offer him. And my fantasy land is that the Tigers trade Scooble for some great prospects, and then that they sign him in the offseason. It's fantasy land, but it's my dream, damn it. And if they did that, with Flaherty, although to a lesser degree with prospects. But if you really think that you can sign him and be competitive with an offer, you explain that to him before you send him off to the Dodgers, and say, "Look, we're sending you to a place where you're going to win a World Series. After you've done that, we're coming back to you because we want you here for the long term, and we're willing to pay." And, we'll see if they're able to or not. I don't know what the Tigers are willing to offer to Tarek Skubal. Nobody does. But everybody seems to think that no matter what it is, it'll get trumped by an offer from another team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just hope they can keep him somehow because we're on our way up right now, young players and young team. And it just makes sense to keep the best pitcher in the league to me. But
it doesn't feel like they're staring down the barrel of a full-scale rebuild if they trade Skubal.
No.
At all. And the one thing that I would recommend that the front office does, one, stop signing aging pitchers who aren't giving you anything. They've had some either bad luck or made terrible decisions on consecutively Kenta Maeda, Alex Cobb, and unfortunately JV here, who, if you missed it earlier, announced got named to the All-Star team as a legend and also announced he's retiring at the end of the year. And the other thing is, let's really do something better with the bullpen this offseason. Tigers data had a couple of things. One, actually, they put up on the broadcast last night, that Kevin McGonigal's reach base 2+ times in 53 games this season. Only Nick Kurtz has done it more. And that was in the broadcast. Tigers data also tweeted out regarding Kevin McGonigal's reach base 3+ times in 20 games, 23% of his career games.
It's incredible.
And a 2+ times is 60% of his games. 60% of his games, he's reached base twice.
When did they tweet that out?
17 hours ago.
Okay. I guess it was, it would have been after the game they did it, right? Or because I thought that he and Kurtz are now tied. Are they tied at this point?
Kurtz has done it 56 times. Okay, McGonagall 53.
He's tied with Shohei. Ohtani. Yeah. That was it. Okay.
How about this one?
Terrible company.
Kevin McGonigal lays off 79.3% of pitches outside the strike zone. Among every player over the last 20 years, No one has posted a better career rate with a minimum of 300 at bats.
He's got an eye.
Like, that's historic.
That is historic. Well, when you realize that all these, the numbers he's putting up there and these milestones he's hitting, whatever, even the one you just mentioned about the on base two times in a game,
mm-hmm.
with 53 times in a season, he's tied with Shohei Ohtani with that and trailing Nick Kurtz, who's got a 400 on base percentage.
Right.
I mean, he's had an amazing rookie season.
Let's see here. I have one more fact, but I don't know if I can confirm it.
Rico, you ready for Thanksgiving afternoon?
Oh, yeah. Arkansas. Yeah. I mean, why not? I got to do the pre-show earlier that day, so I'm just going to make a day of it.
It's going to be a long day.
No, not really. We do the pre-show from here because B-Dubs is closed, so go home.
Oh, that's right. Thanksgiving.
Cook, eat, and either do an early or a late dinner.
Well, yeah. You're adaptable.
Right. I'm flexible.
If nothing else, Rico is flexible.
It's a bit, like, now I get, like, Gator, I don't know, like, because you'll probably go to the game,
mm-hmm.
and are you just going to go roll over to the other game?
No.
And just see everybody when you see them?
Because it's too long of a time with a dog and that whole situation. I mean, I suppose I could make arrangements to have somebody come and let the dog out at some point. And,
who?
Thank you.
Answer Gator. Or somebody no. Gator knows.
Right. It ends up being a family day, so I'd like to. Unfortunately, the Spartans are going to go on the wayside on that one, more than likely. I wish the game were at night.
Well, see, I guess I'll be at home, so I'll be watching the Lions game, so then I can just leave.
And then you can, yes.
Because while everybody's leaving downtown, I'll be coming in, so it'll be a lot easier.
That's the grain.
That's the dream, man. But yeah. You know, it's funny, I'm listening to you guys talking about McGonagall, right? Mm-hmm. I assume. I do wonder at what point. Does the water find its level, or are you really watching something special? Is this kid going to be that?
I keep waiting for it, and it hasn't happened, knock on wood. He just looks different.
Right, like, you know what? Yeah, I remember his first year, and it never plateaued. It just kept going.
I mean, he could be getting better.
So, I hope so.
I try not to over-exaggerate. Pistons, in case you're wondering.
You got some Piston talk?
Yeah, you know, what's next for them? Also, Scooble. Wants right. to buy. We got a
stay
question
safe, treat each other with respect. 97.1.